Laity Sunday is a tradition in United Methodism, and we have observed it some falls, and sometimes we have not. But this year, there are folks who I felt like had a gift and a message to share with us. One is a relatively new member, and so I hope that you will have a chance to get to know him. Another, Dave Minnick, whom you've known in the lay leader role. And another person who might be new to you is Morgan Stegerda, a young person who's part of our youth fellowship, the Middle High Youth Fellowship. And we felt like she had a witness to share as well. This congregation is rich in people who have gifts and faith and love for God and their neighbor. And so this is a time for celebration and for me and for all of us to give thanks for the way God has gifted our congregation. So, Kim.
So what I'm going to do is take a non-traditional look at Thanksgiving. What I'm going to do is take the word Thanksgiving, I'm going to break it down letter by letter and tell you some things that I'm thankful for throughout my life. Now, these are going to be non-traditional things. So when I finish up, then I'll come back and make a couple comments about what I've talked about. So the T was the one that as I looked at it, I'm like, well, what starts with T that I'm thankful for? And last week as I was here in church, Pastor Lynn gave me what it was. It's Twinkies. And Twinkies has something to do with my best friend. My best friend is Cliff. We've been friends for 45 years. And we met when we were in the fifth grade. He went to one school, I went to another. And we met over a Hostess Twinkie. Now, I was with Cliff a couple weeks ago, and the story came up again, how we met because of that Hostess Twinkie. You know, everybody should have a friendship that's lasted 45 years over a Twinkie. Now, keep in mind, these are going to be non-traditional things. The H stands for hound dogs. Now, I have my daughter over there and daughter-in-law and my son. They have hound dogs. Now, if you're not familiar with the hound dog, it's one half this breed, one half this breed, one half this breed, and one half this breed. Now, mathematically, that does not add up. But if you've ever had a hound dog, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They are 90% pure fun. The other 10%, you have no idea what you're getting with a hound dog. The A stands for acorn. I have a 3-year-old grandson. His name is Blake. He comes to our backyard. We have a lot of acorns. We back up to a woods. We've learned that if you take an acorn and you toss it up and you hit it with a badminton racket, you can knock an acorn a long way. Now, Blake, 3 years old, he'll throw it up. If he hits that acorn, he gets the biggest smile on his face. If he throws up the acorn and he misses, he gets the biggest smile on his face. Acorns were God's way of saying, hey, 3-year-olds, here's something you can do. When you look at the first N, it's neighbors. Neighbors on one side of us are Paul and Karen. They were going to be gone for part of the summer, and it was when we had some people coming in. And Karen came over and said, you can have our house if you want. You know, the people can stay right here. Len's my other neighbor. He came over and said, sure, put your trailer in my driveway for a couple days. That's fine. My neighbor across the street, Ed, when we were gone, he came over and cut my lawn. Neighbors are something to be thankful for. Okay. Khakis. Like the khaki pants I'm wearing right now. In Genesis 1:27, it says that God made mankind in his likeness. Well, I think we have a sense of humor, so I got to believe God's got a sense of humor. And I think somewhere along the way, he looked down, and especially talking to the guys, he said, guys, you really don't know how to dress very well. You are not very color coordinated. So I'm going to make khakis. And that way you can wear a blue shirt, you can wear a green shirt, you can wear an orange striped shirt. It's just going to match. Now, when we look at the S, sugar snap peas. Now, I'm not much on vegetables, but sugar snap peas, especially to eat them cold, are the best thing. Now, I don't eat many potato chips anymore, but they're the closest thing to a potato chip because they're sugar snap. They kind of get crispy. They're good for you. I eat them cold, as I mentioned. If I would have talked last week, D&W had them on sale, 2 for $5. I could have told you to go to D&W and buy them. But they're just fun to eat. I didn't even know this. They only started coming about in the 1980s. They have not been around for a long time. Now, let's go to the G, games. I think God put games here so we can enjoy ourselves, whether it's playing Candyland with young children, whether it's playing Monopoly. Joan and I are from southern Indiana. We grew up playing euchre, if anybody's familiar with that. The kids will know that every Thanksgiving or Christmas, I try to come up with some fun game. At least it's fun to me anyway. If you want one at Thanksgiving, maybe take what I'm doing right here and print that out or write it out. Get the family together. And for a half an hour, they have to sit down and write down things that they're thankful for. If you got a small family, go through all the way through Thanksgiving. If you got a big family, they have to pick just three. And have them write down things that they're thankful for. When you get to the first guy, introverts. Now, you know the difference between an introvert and an extrovert. Introverts kind of quiet, shy, kind of, it's tough for that person to walk up and shake hands with people. Extroverts never met anybody they didn't know. Now, even though I'm up here today, I'm very much of an introvert. And my wife is fairly close to me. So we're not going to be the ones, even though we're newer to the church, to walk up to you and say, hey, we're Kim and Joan. You folks have got to come talk to us. You see, God made introverts, so you extroverts have somebody to come talk to. So come up and introduce yourself to us, okay? When we talk about V, we're talking about values. And you know, at the end of the day, that's really what we stand for. What are our beliefs in God? What are our beliefs in what we stand for? Gandhi put it a very good way, I think. He made this comment. Your habits, so whatever you do all day, your habits make your values. Your values make your destiny. When we go to the next I, it's a fun one. It's imagination. And I'm going to talk about my son for a minute. He doesn't know I was going to do this. When he was a young type, he came home from school. This was 20-some years ago. And he came, and out of pipe stems, he had made some glasses. And he was explaining them to me. And I said, well, what are they? And he said, these are my imagination glasses. And he went on to say, my teacher said, whenever we put these on, we can see whatever we want to see. Thank you, teachers, for that. Then he put the glasses on, and he looked in our backyard, and he goes, look, there's a unicorn. What a wonderful gift to have imagination. Take the next in. This is one of God's gifts that if you don't do it, you're missing out. Naps. To be able to take a nap in the afternoon. I mean, the research. I'm in the healthcare business. The research is there that it's good for us to take a nap. Now, my father passed away about 6 years ago, and he had some great lines. One of his lines was almost every afternoon he'd go, getting 15. That's all he'd say. And we knew he was going to go take a nap somewhere. And I don't know how he did it, but 15 minutes later, he was back up. And he was refreshed and ready to go. Now, the last G, nobody can argue with this one. Grandchildren. You know, grandchildren are the best thing. I talked about Blake already. We'll talk about Anna's, my other grandchild. Now, Anna's 1 year old. She's learning to give hugs. And she doesn't know how to come up yet, in my opinion, just give a big hug. So what I do is I get down like this, and I say, you know, Anna, give me a hug. So she'll come in, and as she gets here, she has to turn sideways so she can put her head right here. You know, if that's not a gift from God, I don't know what is. Now, let me take Thanksgiving and kind of break it down a different way. First of all, if I were you and I were sitting here right now, I'd look up at Thanksgiving and say, you know, there's two G's. Why didn't I put God as one? And I had him down as one. But the more I thought about it, it's like God's not a letter in Thanksgiving. God is Thanksgiving. That's why I didn't do it. Now, as you look at some of the things I talked about too, you can say, well, those are small things. Well, if you look in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it talks about in everything, give thanks. You know, it's not, hey, things over $100, give thanks. Hey, things are only important to you, give thanks. Things are only over 12 inches tall, give thanks. It's in everything, give thanks. There's an Estonian proverb that's been around for a long time. And it simply says this, who does not thank for the little will not thank much. So as we look at these things up here, it's the little things every single day. We can walk forward, we can walk backward, we can walk to the right, we can walk to the left. There's something to be thankful for in every single place. So here's what I'm going to do on Thanksgiving Day. I'd encourage you to do the same. There will be a prayer somewhere along the way. And I usually say something like, and God, thank you for everything. And I kind of just keep going. But this year, when I get to the word everything, I'm going to pause. And I'm going to think. Twinkies, hound dogs, acorns, neighbors, happy, and on and on and on. So this Thursday, may each one of you have a blessed and a wonderful and a thankful Thanksgiving.
Hello, I'm Morgan Stegerda. I'm an eighth grader at Cityside Middle School. Last week in first hour, my math teacher was talking about the break we're going to have for Thanksgiving. The thing that people think about is the delicious food and the time off from school or work. I thought about that one day after church, my mom and I were driving home from church and we stopped at a stoplight by Crazy Horse and Goodwill. To my right, there is a man holding a sign asking for food, money, or a job. My mom decided to go to McDonald's to get a meal for the man. After we got the food, we parked in the parking lot right behind him. I decided I would give the man the food. I hopped out and said, "Excuse me, sir." He turned around and his jaw dropped. I handed him the food with shaky hands. And he said, "Bless your little heart," like 5 times in a row. I turned around and got back in the car with tears in my eyes. I waved goodbye as we drove away. I sat in silence as we drove home. I was thinking about that I'm only a 14-year-old, and so far in my life, I have impacted people like I made and gave blankets to the hospital, I gave money to the animal shelter, sent stuffed animals to orphans in Africa, and I'm a pen pal with a girl at Compassionate Hearts. Anyone, any age, can make either a small or big impact in the world. Thank you.
First off, it's great to see everybody here this morning. I really relish getting up here and seeing all the warm faces and the family of Christ are together. And I want to begin by giving thanks for everybody here this morning. What I want to talk about really centers around a passage from Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. And this is the scene where Christ is being questioned and quizzed by the priests. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus gave them good answers, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these." And I think about these, and you know, there is a commandment here, but I think it's not only that, but it's an invitation to obedience, and it's also an invitation to thanksgiving. So why even go there? Is it because the Lord commands it? Well, that's a good reason. Yes, we should listen to what the Lord has to say. But really, at the root of it is, for me personally, why? You know, we talk a lot about the things the Lord asks us to do, but we talk about them in terms of the what and the how to do them. You know, the what of giving, how much you should give, what causes you should support, what activities you do. But really, what I believe is the most important is the why. Because without a compelling reason to do that, why would we love? Why would we put ourselves out? Why would we pray? It's unlikely that I give the Lord his due if I didn't follow that commandment. I can't, and if I can't do that, if I can't give back to the Lord, how can I give to my neighbor as he commands me to do? The bottom line is, I've come to learn that I really want to obey. I really want to follow his commandments. I want the kind of living in my life to be an ongoing act of stewardship and obedience. So let me throw out a few things to you that, and maybe see if these resonate with you, some of the reasons that I think obedience is so important. I pray because, and obey because I know deep down that God loves me. He blesses me, he grows me, he forgives me, he strengthens me, and he protects me. I look back at all the things in my life, and by all rights, I shouldn't even be here right now. But it's not a coincidence, and it's not a coincidence that you're here this morning either. You know, God has done, he's got something in store for me. I just don't quite know what yet. I understand that God provides for me. And I want to give honor to God by acknowledging that and by giving back
in obedience. I want to understand the dream he has for me. I want to take the abilities he's given me and the graces he's given me and grow from them and give back to others. Bottom line is, I'm not content with who I am. I've looked at, you know, who I am as a husband, as a father. Sorry, this is kind of difficult. As a friend, am I giving honor to God in everything I do? And bottom line is, no, I'm not. And I'm not happy with that. I want to be a better person. And I'm sorry, in those quiet times when I went down and I'm standing there before God on my own, and I'm sorry for the rebel heart that I have for not obeying him, for not listening to him. I'm ashamed of disobeying. Without God's direction in my life, I feel like I'm lost. I need that in my life. I don't trust my own beliefs and my own perceptions. What I think is true may not be true. Now, we all hold our opinions, but are you willing to lay them down and say, I want to examine them at your feet, and if these are true, great, I'll run with them. If they're not, cast them off. I want your truth. And without accepting God's challenges, I don't grow in a manner that I think is honoring God. I also want to seek God's peace and strength. There's a phenomenal feeling, and probably a lot of you have experienced this, where you're coming into kind of a synchronous relationship with God. Bottom line is, I want others to experience the direction, the joy, the strength that living with God really brings. So again, why? Yeah, Christ died for me. By accepting him, my forgiveness, I've been forgiven, I've been redeemed. Okay, that's great. But now what do I do with the rest of my life? I think it's giving thanks to God for all his provisions. It's acknowledging that who I am is what he's given me. It's also acknowledging that I can't make it without him. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. Those times when you're wrestling with difficult children and you're trying to deal with them in a loving, parental manner. You're trying to grow them, but it's so hard to do. And you get frustrated, and sometimes you feel like throwing in the towel. So I know I can't make it without them. And I want my life to bring glory to God and to others, and bring others to the cross as well. So it's time to quit trying to do it on my own and trust in my God, my Creator, to help me do it, to help carry me. So why pray? And I found that that's essential each day so that I fully understand God's vision for me, his desires for me. I want to know where he's taking me, and not to give him my agenda, but to find out his. I really fear his displeasure. At the end of the day, have I honored him or not? And if I haven't, I'm scared. In prayer, I want to really willingly invite God into my life, to give God the permission and the freedom to really go to work in me and bring about fundamental change. Again, this is not what I know I need to do. It's, Lord, if I'm not what you need, remake me. I trust you. So I'll invite you to do this. And some of you will be gutsy enough to try this, to ask God to come into your life and work fundamental change in you. And you're going to step back and let him do his will. And if you're gutsy enough to do that, watch out. Because what I found is, God answers that prayer. But it's not the way you think it's going to get answered. that it can be very painful. It can be very challenging. But God will answer that prayer, and he'll do it for his glory and for yours as well. And I know that deep down, because every time I've gone through challenges in my life, and every time I've experienced God moving through my life, I've sat back and I've looked at what's happened. I've seen his handprint in everything, even though it was painful at the time. I found that God does answer prayer. So pray. I also need in prayer to discover God's graces by dropping my own excuses. I have none. I need to drop my own defenses. I also need to drop my agenda and listen to him, as I want him to be the direction in my life. I also need to trust him. I want him to make that fundamental change. And I know that that's uneasy. I experience that a lot. But knowing that God's at the helm of that, fear's gone. It's just a matter of, take me. Be patient. You know, God has his own perfect time. And what we ask for now may not come to fruition for years. May not come to fruition in our lifetime. We may never see it. But trust that God is at work with that. And somewhere, what he's done through you will affect somebody else. I also pray to find courage and protection in God. I don't want to live in the comfortable. You know, the comfortable is, in my opinion, it's just kind of existing. It's not growing. And if you're not growing, I believe you're really declining. So I'm asking God, you know, take me out of my comfort zone. Stretch me in any way you want. And yeah, I know it's going to be uncomfortable, but I know that you're there with me. And he's promised it'll never desert me. I also pray to discover God's peace. Now, there's a real comfort. Basically, when my rebellious heart gets calmed down, that's when I can really feel God at work. And to feel his peace and his joy and having a hand in his work and having him work through me is awesome. So, you know, remember in the end that God wins. I want to be on that right side. I want to be on that side as a servant throughout the course of my life, but I also want to share that eternal life with him. I know I've got to get this right, but I also know that Christ has forgiven and redeemed me. So now it's how, you know, my tombstone, I'm going to have a beginning date and an ending date. The last thing I want to have on there is a question mark. What did you do with your life? I gave you a lot of gifts, but what did you really do with that? Did you throw it away, or did you use it for me? And I want it to be a date that is by no means, there's no doubt it's not a question mark. I want to make an impact for the Lord, but I want to do it for others. And I also know that by obeying God completely, then I can love my neighbor completely. And it's not just a matter of, because he asks it, it's because I want to do that. It's like me, I believe there are a lot of other people out there, and probably you're one of them that's on that journey too. And I know you're going through challenges, you're going through questions, you're wondering, why did I do this? Where am I going? And you've got your own race to run. And that's between you and God. But along the way, if I can come alongside you and share what God has done for me and what Christ is doing in me and give you a drink of that water as well and refresh you in your journey, then I'm honoring you as a neighbor. You know, bottom line is, you're my family. We don't always agree, but I love you all. And I want to see you get over that finish line too. And not only do I want to get there, but I want to take you there with me. So I just give thanks to God for his provision. But I also give thanks to God for giving us the ability to give back.